many interacting and moving parts. What looks perfect to you may not at all look perfect to me. In some sports, every scoring play is reviewed. Why? Other reviews take place when a human official has made a judgment and another human objects. Why do we limit reviews in this way? After all, we have the technical capacity, with super slow motion, to review every movement by every player. Digital eyes can see what humans cannot, so shouldn't we simply call a penalty every time a player surreptitiously holds another's jersey or puts an elbow where it is not supposed to be? Indeed, we already have this digital capacity playing out in the billion-dollar video game industry. Let's just drop the live contests, the noise, the traffic, the parking, the expensive tickets, and play games on our perfect computers. The case for review perhaps can be made for professional sports because millions of dollars are at stake with contracts populated by incentive clauses and bonuses that benefit from precise measurement. A home run, a three-pointer, a first down can each make huge financial differences for professional players and coaches. In contrast, college sports are for education and the love of the game, aren't they? Getting rid of professional accoutrements, such as instant replay, would be a statement that college sports are for students instead of for professional athletes. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Traffic is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Not that much traffic going on out there this morning since it is a holiday and it is the first day of 2015. However, if you hear something differently or see something differently, give us a call at 919-929-WCHL or 967-8363. And you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call, 919-967-8363, 919-967-8363. And give us your report. This report brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Burgers not your thing? Enjoy Five Guys grilled kosher beef hot dogs dressed with any or all of 15 free toppings. That is Five Guys in Meadowmont Village. WCHL weather is brought to you by Glass Half Full. For today, sunny skies, highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, partly cloudy during the evening. Then becoming mostly cloudy, not quite as cool, with lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, slight chance of rain during the afternoon, highs around 50, the chance of rain at 20%. Tomorrow night, cloudy, 50% chance of rain, lows will be in the upper 30s. And then for Saturday, rain likely, highs in the upper 40s, the chance of rain at 60%. So the first weekend of 2015 is going to be rain, and it is going to be cold as well. Right now it is 25 outside, and this report is brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough, online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too. Well, the phone did not ring as I was doing that traffic report and the weather report, and so that means that Wayne Pond is not calling in today for a word of the day. You would think normally, well, we're not going to have a word of the day. Well, you're wrong, because we're going to have a word of the day. And I'm going to make sure of that. Since this is 2015, if it's a weekday, if I'm here, if I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, just hours after we ring in the new year, we're going to have a word of the day. Presented by Franklin Street Realty, I might add. Why would you call anyone else? And we're going to give you a chance to win if you're listening in. And you can call in next hour, and you can define the word flapdragon. 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 This sounds like a 1980s board game that just collected dust on the shelves at your local Maxway, doesn't it? Flapdragon. This was actually used, it actually entered the English language in the late 1500s, and it means an old game in which the players snatch raisins, plums, or any other object out of burning brandy and eat them. It was used by William Shakespeare in Love's Labour's Lost in 1598. Thou art easier swallowed than a flapdragon, also used by Charles Kingsley in his 1855 book, Westward Ho, or The Voyages and Adventures of Sir Amyas Leigh Knight. The good folks of Bideford were trooping home in merry grounds, the father with his children, the lover with his sweetheart, to cakes and ale, and flap dragons, and mummers' plays, and all the happy sports of Christmas night. So this one still has a bit of a holiday feel, and since the holidays basically end today, we're going to give you the word flat dragon, an old game in which the players snatch raisins, plums, out of burning brandy and eat them. And we don't recommend this game, by the way, at any keg party or anything of that nature. So that's the word of the day, flat dragon. Just basically, it's spelled how it sounds, F-L-A-P-D-R-A-G-O-N. Define it next hour, and you will get a chance to win right here on WCHL. So that is the word of the day, and it's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? And if Nikki were here this morning, she would say, I have no idea. And that brings us to today's clean joke of the day. Brenda and Terry are going out for the evening. The last thing they do is put their cat out. The taxi arrives, and as the couple walk out of the house, the cat scoots back in. Terry returns inside to chase it out. Brenda, not wanting it known that the house would be empty, explains to the taxi driver, "My husband is just going upstairs to say goodbye to my mother." Several minutes later, an exhausted Terry arrives and climbs back into the taxi, saying, "Sorry I took so long. The stupid idiot was hiding under the bed, and I had to poke her with a coat hanger several times before I could get her to come out." Well, I imagine that goes very well. Could be, they say double entendre. Well, there you go. Could be talking about the cat or the mother-in-law when you get right down to it. All right, 7:52 here, 97.9 FM WCHL. I'm Jeff Hamlin, substituting for Rod Stutz. It is 25 outside on this New Year's Day. We'll have today's Village Pride Award coming up.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Al LeBeau, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Al had to say.
People wait too long before they go into the retirement community, and all of a sudden they find there's a big, long waiting list to get in. They want to move today, but they should have signed up years ago and gone in. So we tried to cut it off at the pass and go in early before we needed to be there. It's really first-class operation. I mean, the food is marvelous. When we have inclement weather, they will bring meals over to you, and it's just one of those services we find phenomenal. It seems like there's no end to what you can order. Like, if you want two scoops of ice cream, it isn't an extra charge. My wife and I are from the New York metropolitan area, and while we're in Cedars, we are so centrally located, it's just a hop and a skip to the airport. You got great hospitals within easy reach, and of course, there's always the sports activities that you have between, should I mention it, Duke and Chapel Hill.
Thanks, Al. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Richard Tofte is an extraordinary volunteer, and he does his volunteer work through the RSVP program at the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill.
It's like family here. The staff, the people at work here, we all have specific goals and are working as a team no matter what it is.
Richard Tofte is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
I work at special events for Central Orange, and at the Seymour Center I work for front desk, primetime players, special events, special projects, program advisory committee, and Toys for Tots program.
Like so many other wonderful people, Richard Tofte retired to North Carolina, and we're glad he did.
Everybody told me the weather down here was beautiful, and I live in Pershing County. A friend of mine asked me if I would go down to the writers group when they were in the old Elliott Road, and I went down there, and I fell in love with what they were doing, the people that worked, volunteered. Then when they built this building here in the Seymour Center, I said, no, this is for me. hey, this is family.
Everybody who ever goes to the senior center loves Richard Tofte. One of the reasons is he makes them laugh.
I've always grown up with, maybe you can relate to this, burlesque comedy. And I try to make people laugh and make jokes out of things that nobody else would do. I get in trouble sometimes for that, but I like to make people laugh, entertain people, and be courteous to them.
Robin Balin overheard our conversation at the senior center and just had to jump in and sing Richard's praises.
I just want to say that he's remarkable. He's volunteered over 1,000 hours just this year alone. He steps up to the plate for anything, like anything that we ever need help with. Richard is there for us. He looks for the loners at the center, anyone who really doesn't know what they should be doing or what they want to do. And Richard takes care of them. He gets them involved with everything. He's like our ambassador. I'm a facility manager, and I've been working with Richard, and he's just wonderful.
Richard Tofte is practically a walking billboard for the RSVP program and the Seymour Senior Center.
We want to bring as many people as we can, because there's a lot of people that just, when they get old, they just isolate themselves. We want to reach a lot of people in a lot of areas and see if we can get them here and keep them here.
It's a wonderful facility.
Yes, it is.
Richard Tofte, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the website at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
It is 7:57, 25 outside on this New Year's Day, 2015. Thanks for joining us here on the WCHL Thursday Morning News. I'm Jeff Hamlin, substituting for Ron Stutz. On this day in 1953, country music star Hank Williams Sr. died of a heart attack brought on by alcohol. Now, the year before, he had been fired from the Grand Ole Opry because of his drinking. You think about how influential Hank Williams Sr. was. He was only 29 years old when he died on this day in 1953. On this day in 1960, Johnny Cash played his first concert for inmates at a show at San Quentin Prison in California. Future country star Merle Haggard was in the audience, and he was actually serving time at that point for burglary. Talked to a friend of mine who read Johnny Cash's book, and if you see the movie Walk the Line, and you think that that is all you need to know about Johnny Cash, you need to read this book. Read his autobiography. He is remarkably candid. He had a very checkered past, very checkered. And I'll just leave it at that. You just need to check it out for yourself. On this day in 1985, VH1 went on the air, and it was perfect. The first video they ever showed was Marvin Gaye singing his version of the Star-Spangled Banner just before the All-Star Game for the NBA back in 1984 at the Great Western Forum. Little did we know at the time, I didn't know this, they actually had an article on Grantland about this not long ago. Larry O'Brien, it was 1982 is when that was, that's right, it was 82. Larry O'Brien was the commissioner at that time of the NBA. David Stern was about to take over. Larry O'Brien was furious about Marvin Gaye's version. He thought it was not patriotic. And, of course, nowadays it's viewed as perhaps the most legendary performance of the Star-Spangled Banner that you'll ever see. But caused at least some controversy in the commissioner's mind at that time. But now it's absolutely legendary. It's remarkable. All right, 7:59. And it's time now for weather. And this report is brought to you by Four Corners. For today, we're expecting sunny skies on this first day of 2015. Highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, it is going to be partly cloudy during the evening. becoming mostly cloudy, not quite as cool, lows in the mid-30s. Right now it's 25, and this report brought to you by Four Corners, home of the $6 lunch specials Monday through Friday from 11 to 3. Join the lunch club and your sixth lunch is free.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carver News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
Americans ring in 2015.
Happy New Year!
Dozens killed in a New Year's stampede in China.
People fell down and were crushed to death.
Bad weather hampers recovery of bodies from the AirAsia crash.
It's very difficult for divers to get in and out of the water.
Good morning. I'm Peter King with a CBS World News Roundup. In Boston, they call it First Night.
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
In New York, band leader Guy Lombardo may be long gone, but he certainly didn't take New Year's Eve with him. His Auld Lang Syne helped ring in the new year at Times Square. CBS's Mara Rubin.
Mayor Bill de Blasio sent the Times Square ball down the 70-foot pole. At midnight, New York, New York blasted in Times Square, and the crowd, despite the cold, enjoyed every minute of the New Year's Eve party.
Definitely an experience. It's a bucket list thing.
It's an amazing experience, all the lights.
It was seriously the best night of my whole entire life. Like, seriously, it was great.
Many cities like Las Vegas celebrated with fireworks at midnight. And in Denver, these people were planning for the new year.
My New Year's resolution is to actually eat better. Take better care of myself.
Quit eating candy.
My resolution is to eat all of his uneaten candy.
Southern Californians aren't used to freezing temperatures, but thousands are getting them and bundled up as they staked out the best spots for today's Rose Parade, expected to be the coldest ever. CBS's Steve Futterman is there.
When the clock struck midnight, the celebration began. Thousands of people spent the night on the sidewalks despite temperatures in the 30s.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine. The kids are bundled up. We're bundled up. We're ready for this.
You're going to be tough.
We're going to tough it out, yeah.
People came prepared.
Blankets and heaters and layers of clothes.
Is that going to make you warm or...
I hope so.
Even in near-freezing weather, people said they want to see the parade.
No matter the weather, no matter how cold it is, it's worth it.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Pasadena, California.
A New Year's celebration in downtown Shanghai turns tragic after a stampede kills at least 35, injuring more than 50 people. Wall Street Journal reporter James Arity.
Possibly hundreds of thousands of people were gathered in a quite iconic section of the city near the riverfront. It's called the Bund. Something appears to have sparked movement in this tight crowd. And people were pushed and fell down and trampled.
In Afghanistan, someone fired a rocket into a wedding party, killing 28 people, mostly women and children. One official says it appeared to come from an army checkpoint. Police are trying to determine if soldiers were battling Taliban fighters. Bad weather in the Java Sea has slowed down search efforts for bodies and wreckage from AirAsia Flight 8501. CBS's Alan Pizzi is in Indonesia.
The main wreckage is thought to be in relatively shallow water. If they can find that and the weather clears, the divers can get down and retrieve the black boxes. But the weather is terrible, and they're not exactly sure whether they have found the main wreckage or whether it's shifted by the waves and currents.
Searchers have recovered remains of 8 of the 162 people who were aboard the plane when it crashed on Sunday. Officials say a female passenger was identified by her fingerprints and other information. In Egypt, 3 jail journalists will get another day in court. CBS's Alex Ortiz is in Cairo.
A judge has ruled for a retrial of 3 Al Jazeera English journalists who've been imprisoned now for over a year. About 6 months ago, they were found guilty, plotting to destabilize Egypt. The judge and the prosecution accused them of basically belonging to a terrorist group.
Government security arrested the 3 just over a year ago. They were sentenced to 7 to 10 year prison terms after their first trial. It's 4 minutes after the hour.
This hour of the Morning News is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This morning on WCHL, another UNC employee has left the university following the revelations of the Weinstein Report. And there's more fallout from the report after a statement released by the university. There's also local feedback.
Frankly, I've talked to some coaches who just don't believe that UNC coaches didn't know what was going on.
2014 is now in the rearview mirror. And as part of our continuing year-in-review series, we take a look at the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of the year 2014. Coming up, we'll take a look at our number 7 news story of the year. NWCHL Championship Sports, TCU, Georgia Tech, and Boise State all make a statement as 2014 comes to an end, and the new year begins with a historic day in college football. All that and the Odds Good File coming up on this New Year's Day edition of the WCHL Morning News.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning, 8:05 and 25 degrees outside. I'm Jeff Hamlin, substituting for Ron Stutz. Happy New Year, and thank you for joining us this morning on the WCHL Thursday Morning News. Another UNC employee has left the university following the revelations of the Weinstein Report. UNC announced on Wednesday that Dr. Tim McMillan has resigned. McMillan was a lecturer in the Department of African, African-American, and Diaspora Studies. Ken Weinstein's investigation found that he'd been listed as the professor and signed off on the grades for several of the paper classes created by Department Administrator Deborah Crowder. In addition, UNC also disclosed for the first time that the university fired former faculty chair Jan Boxall immediately following the report's release on October 22nd. Boxall served as an advisor for the UNC women's basketball team, and Weinstein's investigation found that she'd been fully aware of the paper classes and even suggested grades to Crowder for some of her advisees. Her termination, however, is not official. She has requested a hearing before a committee of the faculty, and UNC says that process is still ongoing. Wednesday's statement also confirmed that former academic counselor Jamie Lee has been terminated as well. According to Weinstein's report, Lee, too, was fully aware of the paper classes and steered student athletes to them. When the Weinstein report was released on October 22nd, UNC officials said that 9 employees faced possible discipline or dismissal as a consequence of the findings. UNC reiterated that on Wednesday, confirming that 6 other individuals are undergoing reviews in addition to Lee, Boxall, and McMillan. The university has not disclosed the names of those 6 individuals, but the Daily Tar Heel reported in October that the 6 are Bobby Owen, Alphonse Mudema, Corey Holiday, Travis Gore, Brent Blanton, and Beth Bridger. Those names are unconfirmed, but that DTH report also correctly identified Lee, McMillan, and Boxall long before UNC confirmed they were among the 9 employees facing discipline. You can read the full statement from UNC that was released on New Year's Eve on our website at chapelboro.com. Barry Jacobs, a local sports reporter who serves as an Orange County commissioner, shared some of his thoughts with WCHL about Wednesday's news that 3 UNC employees are gone in the wake of the Weinstein investigation.
First, sympathy for the people who are losing jobs, and I guess you would say approval of the fact that the university is trying to get its house in order, because whatever else we've seen, it's that people are not operating within the parameters that they had agreed to operate within and that the university had committed itself to upholding.
Jacob says he only knows 1 of the 3 employees that have left the university, and that's former faculty chair Jan Boxall, who, as we mentioned earlier, was fired in October. And again, she's appealing that decision. Jacob says he has high regard for her.
I know from interviewing her several times, she cares a lot about the student-athletes. She felt very strongly that some of the student-athletes were brought into the university and not given an adequate opportunity to advance to a degree, that they were brought in already academically over their heads, and that there were not sufficient support systems in place to help them achieve.
He added that some people, including Boxall, apparently tried to help young student-athletes in ways that were more than what was appropriate. on the subject of UNC's coaching staffs. Jacobs says they shouldn't escape all accountability for the academic scandal.
Frankly, I've talked to some coaches who just don't believe that UNC coaches didn't know what was going on. I'm talking about people who are their competitors, but also their contemporaries. They just do not believe that UNC coaches did not know.
Jacobs said the fault isn't entirely with UNC, but with the larger system in place for college athletics.
There was the New York Times front page story today quoting a tweet from the starting quarterback for Ohio State saying, and I'm paraphrasing, "Why do I have to go to class? I'm here to play football. I'm not here to play academics." And the more we go in that direction, and we're going, the more pressure it puts on the institutions that participate to make sure that they're still adhering to certain standards.
You can hear Barry Jacobs' entire conversation with WCHL's Danny Hooley on our website at chapelboro.com. Well, we have reached the end of 2014, and today, of course, is the first day of 2015. And as the new year begins, we're taking the time to look back on the year that was. For the next 2 weeks, as part of our annual WCHL Year in Review, we'll be counting down the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of 2014 here in our local community, continuing today now with number 7. 2014 was a banner year for development in Chapel Hill as multiple projects that will likely transform the town moved closer to becoming reality. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on new development, our number 7 story of the year.
In May, following months of heated debate, the Chapel Hill Town Council adopted a new type of zoning known as form-based code and applied it to a large swath of land surrounding the Ephesus Church Road, Fordham Boulevard intersection. Here's Town Manager Roger Stancil.
The rezoning creates the opportunity for new tax revenues that allow us to solve problems that the community has not been able to afford to resolve in the past.
The plan calls for the town to reconfigure the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard, extend Elliott Road, and create new mixed-use zones that allow 3 to 7 stories of commercial and residential development. The first project in that area, Village Plaza Apartments, could begin construction early next year. In June, the town council approved a development agreement to expand and renovate the commercial and residential portions of the Glen Lennox neighborhood. That same night, the council voted to enter into formal negotiation for a development agreement on the contentious Obie Creek plan. East-West Partners wants to build 1.5 million square feet of housing and retail across from Southern Village. Roger Perry reminded the council that the concept of Obie Creek has been debated for more than 4 years.
Make a decision tonight, either to enter into the negotiations subject to these reports or make the decision not to enter into negotiations and quit wasting your time, these folks' time, and our time.
Council negotiations on Obie Creek will continue into the new year with a vote expected in June. 2014 also saw the approval of the graduate apartments behind the Franklin Hotel, the controlled burn of 3 houses to make way for the Southern Village Hotel, the opening of Lux undergraduate housing, and the closing of shops at University Square to prepare for its transformation into an 11-story mix of housing and retail. The town council finished out the year with rousing debate about another long-rumored mixed-use development. The Edge, as it's known, is planned for 54 acres on Eubanks Road, adjacent to the town's park and ride lot. The site will include a mix of retail and commercial space with up to 700 residential units. The discussion of that project and its impact on nearby neighborhoods will continue throughout 2015. Underpinning every discussion of economic growth this past year was concern that Chapel Hill is rapidly running out of affordable housing, and efforts by nonprofits and elected officials to increase the supply are falling far short. One idea that gained traction was to use town land in the Ephesus Fordham District to develop low-income housing with Raleigh-based nonprofit DHIC. While Chapel Hill leased and rezoned the land, the plan hit a road bump when DHIC announced their application for tax credits for the plan was not properly completed. In August, the mayors of Chapel Hill and Carrboro held a joint press conference decrying the decision from some local landlords to stop accepting Section 8 vouchers. Here's Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt.
More than 600 families are beneficiaries of this program today, and it's an instrumental program in providing for affordable housing opportunities for people of low income.
Advocates also worry that renovations to multiple apartment complexes across our area will result in higher rents that drive working families out of town. Concerns about affordability, traffic, sustainability, and neighborhood preservation dominated the public discourse on development in Chapel Hill. That debate was rigorous and at times raucous. With so many large projects in the works, it's likely that debate will rage on in 2015. Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green reminded residents earlier this year to be patient as the process moves forward.
There's just a lot of stuff here to work through, and I think we all have to be patient with each other. while we do that. You know, can't go over it, can't go under it, we just got to go through it.
Looking ahead, development may be a top headline for Carrboro next year as well, as the Board of Aldermen revisits Lloyd Farms, Barn Street, the Butler, and the long vacant CVS lot, while at the same time contemplating an arts and entertainment district. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Keep it tuned to WCHL throughout the next 2 weeks as we continue to count down our top 10 news stories and newsmakers of the year. And be on the watch for our annual Year in Review special, airing throughout the next couple of weeks, including tonight at 9 p.m. A phone scammer claiming to be a deputy or officer of the Orange County Sheriff's Department's warrant squad is telling potential victims that they missed jury duty or a court date. According to reports, the scammer assures his mark that providing a credit card number over the phone will take care of the fine and prevent arrest and prosecution. Sergeant Butch Clark, a crime prevention officer for Orange County, told WCHL that about four or five such complaints have come into the sheriff's office since Monday. He says it's not a particularly novel scam.
It's just one that's popped up again. Some of the surrounding counties have had it. Seemed like it goes from county to county.
Some of the other counties where reports of the attempted ruse have surfaced this year include Wake, Mecklenburg, Columbia, Rutherford, Greenville, and Cumberland. Back in May, a 63-year-old woman in Leland reported being conned out of $5,400 in the jury duty grift. There are no leads in Orange County so far. Clark said the crook's number was disconnected when investigators called. The Orange County Sheriff's Office never collects fines or cost of court by phone, nor does the IRS. If you happen to have been on the receiving end of that similar phone scam attempt recently, Clark advises people to be smart and to never give personal information over the phone.
The red flag is when they ask for money, ask for personal information. We would never do anything like that.
If you get one of these calls, please contact the Orange County Sheriff's Department. The number is 919-245-2940. That's 919-245-2940 or simply call 911. Right now, 816. And it's time now for traffic. This report is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Right now, the roadways are looking pretty clear since it is another holiday. Many people just considering this another four-day weekend, just like they did last week. However, if you hear something that may be different from what we are hearing, just give us a call here and be a WCHL Road Warrior. The number to call is 919-967-8363. That's 919-967-8363. This report brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys in Metamont Village. WCHL weather is brought to you by the Carolina Inn. For today, we're expecting sunny skies with highs in the upper 40s. For tonight, on the first night of 2015, cloudy skies and a slight chance of rain, becoming mostly cloudy and not quite as cool. Lows in the mid-30s. Chance of rain will be at 20%. Tomorrow, that's when the rain moves in. It'll be cloudy with a slight chance of rain during the afternoon. Highs around 50, chance of rain at 20%. And for tomorrow night, cloudy, 50% chance of rain, lows in the upper 30s. Right now, it is 26 outside, and this report is brought to you by the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. It is 8:18 on WCHL Morning News. I'm Jeff Hamlin. Thanks for joining us here on this New Year's Day. In head coach Larry Fedora's third year at the helm of the UNC football team, the Star Heels finished with a 6-7 record. That is the first losing campaign for Carolina since 2007. Following a lethargic bowl loss to Rutgers last week in Detroit, where is the football team headed? With a report, WCHL's Matt Oakes.
It would take a beaming optimist to project much success for the Tar Heels in 2015. Things don't look good. UNC head coach Larry Fedora will have some soul-searching to do in the offseason for a number of reasons other than the disappointing finish to the season that saw the Tar Heels get outscored 75-28 in their final two games. Most concerning, however, may be the penalties. UNC was one of the most penalized teams in the nation, collecting 93 penalties in the regular season alone. It's tough to point to one glaring issue either in that department. The yellow flags have come from everywhere on the field for a multitude of infractions. Not to mention, it was a historically awful year for a Carolina defense that routinely surrendered north of 40 points per contest and was gashed in every way possible, including a whopping 5 yards per opponent rushing attempt. Yikes. Many players have voiced their frustration with the complexity of learning the 4-2-5 system employed by recently fired defensive coordinator Vic Koning. But yet, the Tar Heels didn't change anything for the bowl game in Koning's absence. Will Coach Fedora and whoever the new defensive coordinator ends up being see fit to move over to a more comfortable 4-3 formation moving forward? We'll have to wait and see. An even better question may be, how will the coaching staff build excitement and energy heading into spring ball with no momentum and a team that seems more divided than ever? Just take a look at some of the honest but pointed comments from senior safety Tim Scott, junior quarterback Marquise Williams, and sophomore receiver Ryan Switzer in the locker room in Detroit just last week. Luckily for Carolina, there may be a glimmer of hope. A majority of the team will be returning next fall, including an infusion of a few highly touted recruits, like talented New Bern cornerback Mike Hughes. But for now, it's clear the Tar Heels have hit close to rock bottom. The question is, can they pick themselves back up? Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time at 8:20. And WCHL Championship Sports is brought to you by the Bank of North Carolina. What a showing yesterday by TCU in the Peach Bowl, a team that many people felt should have been in the college football playoff, only to get booted out in favor of none other than Ohio State, managed to just romp past Ole Miss 42-3, the most lopsided bowl victory in the history of the Horned Frogs football program. TCU finishes up the year 12-1. Georgia Tech did the ACC proud last night. The Yellow Jackets managed to beat Mississippi State and win the Capital One Orange Bowl in Miami, 49-34, the final. Also yesterday, Boise State wins the Fiesta Bowl once again. That's another 12-win season for the Broncos. They've had more 12-win seasons than any other football program in FBS since 2001, as the Broncos beat Arizona in Glendale, Arizona, no less. 38-30, the final. The Broncos win the Fiesta Bowl, and they finish out the year 12-2. Today, a historic day in college football. It is the start of the first ever college football playoff. Two national semifinal games on tap for today. It starts off at 5 o'clock this afternoon with ACC champion Florida State, the only undefeated team in FBS football, going up against Oregon. That will be in the Rose Bowl. And then the scene shifts to New Orleans tonight in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for the Sugar Bowl. That one matches up the number one team in the country, Alabama, against number four, Ohio State. In the NFL, Buffalo Bills head coach Doug Marrone is now out in Buffalo. He opted to exercise an out clause in his contract after 2 years on the job, so he leaves Buffalo despite leading the team to a winning record for the first time in nearly a decade this season. College basketball, number two Duke wins yesterday. They defeated Wofford 84-55. Also in the ACC, Wake Forest topped Princeton 80-66. And Syracuse down Cornell 61-44. Top 25, first day of the Big East season yesterday, and there were several upsets. Seton Hall knocked off number 15 St. John's 78-67, and number 25 Georgetown falls on the road to Xavier 70-53. Big Ten season opens for Wisconsin in successful fashion. The Badgers defeat Penn State 89-72. Sixth-ranked Villanova off to its best start ever. Wildcats 13-0. They beat Butler in the Bulldogs' first ever Big East game, 67-55. Number 9, Iowa State wins over Mississippi Valley State, 83-33. Number 16, Wichita State downs Drake on the road, 66-58. It was number 18, Oklahoma over George Mason, 61-43. And number 24, Colorado State, still undefeated. They top Boise State, 71-65. NBA from last night, it was the Charlotte Hornets losing to the Houston Rockets by a score of 102-83. Also in the NBA, Boston topped Sacramento. It was Indiana over Miami. LA Clippers hand the New York Knicks their ninth straight loss. The Knicks are now 5-29. 99-78, the Clippers win. Milwaukee defeated Cleveland. It was San Antonio winning in overtime over New Orleans. And Oklahoma City gets 44 from Kevin Durant to beat Phoenix. This report brought to you by the Bank of North Carolina.
More rewards, not more rules. That's what you can expect from our Visa Bonus Rewards Card. With the Visa Bonus Rewards Card, earn points that you can redeem for your choice of cash back, travel, and more. Plus, get $25 cash back with your first purchase. More rewards, not more rules. Apply today at any Bank of North Carolina branch or on our website. For details and full disclosure, go to bankofnc.com. Subject to credit approval. Member FDIC.
The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in this country, killing about 600,000 people a year. When someone suffers a cardiac arrest, every minute makes a difference between life and death. If an ambulance gets stuck in traffic, even with the sirens blaring and the lights flashing, there is a chance that it will not reach the patient in time and provide treatment. But there may be a solution. A university graduate student in the Netherlands has invented a drone he says could one day bypass traffic and bring life-saving equipment to the scene. The story after this. There are many ways to see the wonders of Europe, but let me tell you about the best. Viking River Cruises. Aboard a Viking River cruise, you enjoy a breathtaking tour of one of the great rivers of Europe, such as the Danube or the Rhine, in style and comfort, while you see legendary cities and attractions one after the other. With Viking River Cruises, you enjoy the comforts of a deluxe hotel. Most of the rooms and suites have balconies or verandas. The ship is designed to be spacious and open, so you don't miss a moment of the majestic countryside and historic castles as you sail down the river. Each Viking River cruise carries fewer than 200 passengers. Your outstanding crew and onboard concierge are all at your service. That's why I want to get you aboard a Viking River cruise, to enjoy the experience of a lifetime and explore the world in comfort. To learn more, visit VRC.com or call 1-800-207-7289. That's VRC.com or call 1-800-207-7289. Alec Momont is the creator of the ambulance drone, which carries a defibrillator and can reach the patient up to 10 times faster than a traditional ambulance on four wheels because it's built for speed.
Drones are always limited in their battery life, but since we are flying so fast and come to the location at that high speed and it lands, we actually only use 5% of the battery. So that's also why we're able to draw so much power from the battery, so that it's able to fly this fast.
How does it work? Momos says the drone is able to home in on the smartphone of the patient or anyone else on the scene. Once the drone arrives, a medic at the nearby hospital can give instructions on how to use the defibrillator through a loudspeaker and camera that are mounted on the drone. Of course, what Momos has built is a prototype, so that means more work needs to be done. But the potential is already there, and he says...
We can expect to see this within 5 years from now to be as reliable that we can use it in our everyday society.
And someday help save lives. The Osgood File. I'll see you online at Facebook, Twitter, and at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a... no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for water and shock resistance. Submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. Rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya.
She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the website at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL weather is brought to you by the Carolina Inn. For today, with highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, partly cloudy during the evening and then becoming mostly cloudy, not quite as cool, lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, slight chance of rain during the afternoon, highs around 50. The chance of rain tomorrow will be at 20%. Tomorrow night, cloudy, 50% chance of rain, lows in the upper 30s. On Saturday, rain likely, highs in the upper 40s, chance of rain 60%. Right now, it's 24 outside. This report brought to you by the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Happy New Year from all of us here, WCHL, to all of you out there. Coming up, we'll have more news. We'll have commentary on the way from Lou Margolis and the Village Pride Award.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
3, 2, 1!
Welcoming 2015, celebrations across the U.S. in New York's Times Square.
I'm single, I'm happy, and I want to see Taylor!
To California, where CBS's Steve Futterman reports.
Pasadena, of course, is the site of the annual Rose Parade, and that will take place when morning comes. As is tradition, thousands and thousands of people are spending the night camped out on the sidewalks of Colorado Boulevard so they can get the best views of the parade.
The parade starts at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Everywhere, people making those resolutions.
Just to be successful at school next year.
I set goals, but they're not really resolutions. They're everyday goals, and I definitely achieve them. And when I do, I set more.
People watched a giant chili drop to mark the new year in Las Cruces, New Mexico. In Las Vegas, they saw fireworks bursting from the tops of casinos. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning, 8:32 and 24 degrees outside. I'm Jeff Hamlin on this New Year's Day, substituting for Ron Stutz on the WCHL Thursday Morning News. Thank you for spending part of your New Year's Day with us. We have reached the end of 2014, and as the new year begins, we're taking the time to look back on the year that was. For the next 2 weeks, as part of our annual WCHL Year in Review, we'll be counting down the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of 2014 here in our local community. And that continues today with number 7 on our list of the top 10 newsmakers. Whenever you talk development in Chapel Hill, Roger Perry's name looms large. WCHL's Elizabeth Brent has details.
Roger Perry is a Chapel Hill native and president of East-West Partners Management Company. Since 1983, East-West Partners has developed more residential real estate than any company in North Carolina. Locally, that includes Meadowmont, Downing Creek, and East 54. Perry says the town's notoriously difficult development process has actually enabled him to carve out a niche in Chapel Hill.
One of the strategies of our company has been to take advantage of this very difficult entitlement process and be the only person who really wants to go through the hassle of getting the approval.
Now, as the town of Chapel Hill looks to revamp that development process, Perry and his company are on the vanguard, jumping at the chance to try new zoning and approval procedures. East-West Partners is spearheading the first project in the recently rezoned Ephesus-Fordham district. The Village Plaza apartments will be the test case for the town's experiment with form-based code. Perry has been vocal in his pursuit of a development agreement with the town to govern the build-out of Obie Creek, a 1.5 million square foot mixed-use development planned for 120 acres across from Southern Village. He's made it clear that bringing a big box retailer to Obie Creek is key to the development's success.
We have the ability to bring a large retailer to town, and to date, the town has not shown the willingness to accept, you know, a 100,000-foot-plus retailer. But they'll come. They want to be here very much. They'll definitely come.
Perry is also a polarizing figure, known for his bombastic style and his tendency to speak off the cuff to council members and citizens alike. He says this of his critics.
It's a whole lot easier to come out and say something's wrong than it is to say something's right. And so many times in Chapel Hill, we've had folks who get all their vision from their rearview mirror.
Perry says he's eager for Chapel Hill to usher in a new phase of economic development, even if that means his company might face more robust competition from other developers.
Despite what some folks probably say, the best thing that can happen to me and to East West Partners is for the town of Chapel Hill to do well and to succeed from an economic, social, well-being standpoint for its citizens. And I'm fearful that we are losing some of that.
Some in Chapel Hill see his work as an eyesore. Others see an engine for growth. Either way, Perry and East West Partners will likely continue to make headlines in 2015. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Keep it tuned to WCHL throughout the next 2 weeks as we continue to count down our top 10 news stories and newsmakers of the year. And be on the watch for our annual Year in Review special, airing throughout the next couple of weeks, including tonight at 9 o'clock. In a statement released by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on New Year's Eve, three employees have left the university in the wake of the Weinstein investigation into so-called paper classes in the former Department of African-American, and Diaspora Studies. It was announced on Wednesday that a lecturer from that department, Dr. Tim McMillan, has resigned. In addition, UNC also disclosed for the first time that the university fired former faculty chair and women's basketball advisor Jan Boxall immediately following the report's release on October 22nd. Former academic counselor Jamie Lee has also been fired, and six more employees are under review. Shortly after that announcement was made, WCHL's Danny Hooley spoke with local sports reporter and Orange County Commissioner Barry Jacobs about the latest developments.
I guess you're just hearing this for the first time, but what are your immediate thoughts on that?
I guess their first sympathy for the people who are losing jobs, and I guess you would say approval of the fact that the university is trying to get its house in order, because whatever else we've seen, it's that people were not operating within the parameters that they had agreed to operate within and that the university had committed itself to upholding. And so if those people whom you named are among them, then obviously the logical step is to remove them.
Did you know any of the people involved? Did you know Jamie Lee or Tim McMillan or Jan Boxall?
The only one I know is Jan Boxall, for whom I have high regard. I think she cares a lot. Not that the others don't, but I know from interviewing her several times, she cares a lot about the student-athletes. She felt very strongly that some of the student-athletes were brought into the university and not given an adequate opportunity to advance to a degree, that they were brought in already academically over their heads, and that there were not sufficient support systems in place to help them achieve. And I think, as we saw in some of the discussions that went through the Weinstein report, people in different positions reacted different ways to that, and one of them was what apparently Jan Boxall did, which was to try and help people maybe more than was appropriate. I saw an interview with someone who was a colleague of hers at another university who said that they had discussed at some length, Jan Boxall, what do you do when you feel like you're within a system that is not ethical? Is it appropriate for you to act unethically and or not consistent with the ethics of the system in which you find yourself? Of course, the simple answer is you remove yourself from that system. But I guess there are times when people feel that they can, like all of us in different ways, when we're going too fast through the 55 zone, that we can fudge and everything will still be okay. But when you're dealing with the reputation of a superior university and with the lives of a lot of people, it's difficult to say you can take those risks or cut those corners and be ethical and true to what you have subscribed to.
What do you think of the reforms that have been put in place by UNC since this came to light? Do you think that they're adequate to address these issues?
I haven't really seen all of them listed in one place, so I couldn't tell you. I think obviously paying closer attention to independent study classes and who's grading papers and assigning courses is a step forward that was shocking to not be in place already. So all of those things that kind of clean up the loose ends are good starts. But, you know, as we have discussed before and CHL has given a lot of people airtime about, there's a larger system here that is impinging on the ability of the University of North Carolina to offer young people who want to play athletics a quality public education and compete at the highest levels within intercollegiate athletics. It's not UNC's fault, but if it's going to subscribe to the system, then it keeps having to make choices. There was a New York Times front page story today quoting a tweet from the starting quarterback for Ohio State saying, and I'm paraphrasing, "Why do I have to go to class? I'm here to play football. I'm not here to play academics." And the more we go in that direction, and we're going, the more pressure it puts on the institutions that participate to make sure that they're still adhering to certain standards. I hope that the new rules will do that, but they're not going to change the pressure to win. They're not going to change the pressure to have more revenue, to have more demands on athletes' time, unless the university takes additional steps.
Yeah, and some of the problems, obviously, they don't start as soon as athletes walk through the university doors. It's a big question, but how do we begin to address that?
Well, I remember when Jim Grove was at Wake Forest and starting to have success, and they gave him academic exceptions every year, but the understanding was those players had to graduate on time, they had to comport themselves well, and they had to take credible courses. And as long as they did that, then the university was willing to make exceptions. Of course, private universities have more leeway to fudge because nobody can really track them from outside. But I believed him, and I think Wake is another high-level academic institution. So you have to look at who you're letting in. You have to look at, if I'm putting this young person into this environment, do they have a reasonable expectation that they will not only be able to compete academically, but feel like they're part of the group, the university, the student body. Because one of the other things that's going on here is that we keep separating the athletes from the rest of the student body. They live off campus quickly. They go to the Academic Excellence Center where they work out. They have meals. They get tutored. They hang out. They have team meetings. They do weight training. So how much are they part of the university? And all those things need to be looked at, and we don't just say, well, everybody else does it, and we want to compete, so we have to do it. Somebody suggested to me I need to speak with one of the UNC professors who specializes in game theory to see if, in fact, you know, the idea that I have to keep up with the Florida States and the Ohio States is really true for the University of North Carolina.
And finally, how accountable do you think coaching staffs need to be for the findings of the Weinstein Report?
Well, coaching staffs have an interestingly ambiguous role in all this because on the one hand, coaches, I don't know if it's true at UNC, but it's true in many places, get bonuses if they have a certain graduation rate among the student athletes that are part of their team. If you're going to be rewarded for the student's performance, then you sure as heck better be on top of what they're doing. And frankly, I've talked to some coaches who just don't believe that UNC coaches didn't know what was going on. I'm talking about people who are their competitors, but also their contemporaries. They just do not believe that UNC coaches did not know. So should you know? Probably. But there are a lot of things like that in life where I think we would prefer not to know certain things because either we don't want to believe it or it's inconvenient or it's difficult to get to the bottom of it and we have other things that we'd rather do. So I think that if the university would set a standard, which would be different than a lot of places, and say, okay, here's our standard. You are responsible. You do need to know. If we have all these tutors, you know, but you also, at the same time, can't go meddle with the academic side. You know, when NC State went on probation under Jim Valvano, the academic side pushed off the athletic side and said, we don't want you talking to our professors. We don't want any calls from the basketball office. So how do you work out those tensions in a way that's structured, has some more responsibility built in, and ultimately has more accountability?
That is Barry Jacobs, an Orange County commissioner and local sports writer, talking to WCHL's Danny Hooley about the release from UNC on New Year's Eve that several employees, three in fact, have been fired. Jan Boxall's termination, however, is under appeal, as Barry talked about right there at length. And he was, again, talking to Danny Hooley. You can listen to that interview again on demand.